Has the risen Lord changed your life? That's the core question of this passage. The disciples, right before this, had Jesus suddenly appear before them in a locked room. Miraculously, after witnessing a horrible death that he had gone through, they saw the risen Lord, and he breathed the Holy Spirit on them. It was a moment that would change one's life, right? But in this passage, what does Peter do? He says, well, let's go fishing. Now, I'm not saying that fishing can't be a spiritual experience. For some people, it might be. But in this case, it's what Peter knows. Peter's a fisherman. He knows fishing. It's his livelihood. It's his comfort zone. It's what he knows what to do. And even after having this powerful experience of the risen Lord standing there before him, stretching out his wounded hands and breathing the Holy Spirit on them, he goes fishing. And the other disciples join him. So if you want to pull up that first slide. So Peter says to them, I'm going fishing. And they say to him, yeah, we'll go with you. So they went out into the boat, and that night, they caught nothing. And just as day is breaking, Jesus is on the shore. And the disciples don't know it's Jesus, but he says, hey, have you caught any fish? And they answer him, no. And so he says to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. And we are told that it is so heavy they can barely haul it in, but yet miraculously the net does not break. And so then the disciple whom Jesus loved, we presume that to be John, realizes, hey, the only guy who's going to be able to do this would be Jesus, right? So they know it's Jesus. And Peter throws on his garment. He jumps in the water. Peter goes all in. And they bring the fish back in, and Jesus prepares a breakfast for them. And it's kind of almost an allusion to the feeding of the 5,000, right? The bread, the fish. And they sit before the charcoal fire. And they have breakfast together. Now, the charcoal fire is very significant here because a charcoal fire is exactly where Peter denied Jesus three times. As Jesus was in the house of the chief priest being tried and ultimately being brought to death, Jesus had warned Peter that he would deny him three times. And Peter said, oh, no, I'd never do that. I'd never do that to you. Well, there he is before the charcoal fire, and somebody says to him, you were with him, weren't you? And Peter says, no, that wasn't me. And then somebody else asks, and somebody else asks, until finally he's denied Jesus three times, and he's ashamed. Now Jesus, after breakfast, gives him an opportunity to find forgiveness. And so he asks him before a charcoal fire, do you love me? And you notice he asks him three times, just the same amount of times that Peter denied Jesus. He's asked, do you love me, Peter? And Peter says, you know I do. And with each answer, Jesus gives him a commission. He is the good shepherd. He will be ascending to the Father, and he needs a shepherd to care for the followers. And so he asks Peter, feed my sheep. Tend to my sheep. Feed my sheep. Now, there's another layer of something going on here as well that you can only catch when you go to the Greek. So I don't usually go to Greek, but in this case, I feel like I need to. Greek has a lot of words for different kinds of love, from romantic love to sacrificial love to familial love to brotherly love. So the words that are used here are very, very significant. Jesus is asking Peter, do you agape love me? Now, if you've heard that word before, probably in Christian circles, it means sacrificial love, the love that Jesus showed on the cross when he died for us. That's agape love. And it's the love we as Christians are called to. So when Jesus is asking, do you love me, Peter? He's saying, do you agape love me? Do you sacrificially love me? And Peter's response is, I philios love you, which is brotherly love. Have you heard of course, Philadelphia, city of brotherly love? Philios is, I love you like a brother, man, is basically what Peter's saying. I love you, man, like a brother. So then Peter asks him again, do you agape love me? Do you sacrificially love me? And Peter again says, I philios love you. I brotherly love you. So here's where it's interesting. The third time, Jesus says to him, okay, Peter, do you philios love me? Do you brotherly love me? He comes down to where Peter is at, realizing Peter isn't going there and can't go there to the agape love, at least not yet. And so he says, do you philios love me? Do you love me like a brother? Oh, yes, Lord, you know I do. And then he gives that commission, feed my sheep. Now, it's interesting. Peter can't get there to the sacrificial love, at least not at that point. But then, if you could pull up the next slide, what we are told is he will eventually, because then Jesus speaks a prophecy over Peter. He says, truly I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. And Jesus said this to show what kind of death that Peter was going to die to glorify God. And after saying this, Jesus said to Peter, follow me. This has echoes of the death Peter would die. We don't have historical record, but tradition holds. Peter died by being crucified, upside down, actually. That's what tradition holds, because he did not want to die in the same way Jesus did. He didn't feel worthy of that. Now, whether that actually happened or not, I looked it up. We're not 100% sure, but we can know this. Peter died somewhere between 64 and 67 AD, sacrificing his life for the faith. Agape love. He laid down his life for the sheep. He couldn't go there when Jesus asked him at first, but Jesus knew he would get there. So, what does this story say to us? Well, I think we can find ourselves a lot in the story of Peter. For starters, what do we do with the risen Christ? How has he affected our lives? Has he changed our lives? When people look at us, do they see a change in us? Can they tell there's something very different about us? Or are we just back in our comfort zones, like Peter was at first? It's a human tendency. We fall back into old patterns, old ways of life. It's what's familiar. The pull of what we feel is the real world pulls us in. This is the way we get things done. You know, that's nice that Jesus says these things, but you know, it's the real world, and that's the way we got to live. But this story tells us there is no fruit in the real world when we live our lives that way. When Peter went fishing, did he catch anything at first? No. He was doing it his way. It wasn't until the voice of the shepherd, and those of us who hear his voice, speaks to them and says, put your net over there. And that is when they catch the miraculous amount of sheep. Excuse me, a miraculous amount of fish. The voice of the shepherd tells them where to fish, and they bring in a miraculous amount of fish. So if you could bring up the next slide. Jesus told his disciples during the Last Supper, he warned them, he said, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We can't do a thing without him. Well, it might look like we're doing something, but when it comes right down to it, we're not. We're not doing what he's calling us to do. If we're not listening to the voice of the shepherd and being connected to him, abiding in him, we can do nothing. And he even adds to it, says, if anyone doesn't abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If we live life as an independent branch, it will get us nowhere. Dead branches aren't good for anything. It is only unless we are connected to him, that we abide in him, that we find our life, everything we need in him, that we listen to the voice of the shepherd guiding us and leading us and helping us. That is where there is fruit. And as it says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Remember I said that as Christians we're called to agape love, like Jesus asked Peter, do you agape love me? He asks that of you and me. Do you agape love me? Do you sacrificially love me? And we cannot do that on our own. We cannot love that way as a branch that is not connected to the vine. We simply can't. But when we abide in him, when we listen to his voice, when we get all that we need from him, that is when the fruit begins to show in our lives. We move from being angry, bitter people, dead branches, to branches full of life that reflect the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness, patience, kindness, self-control, and agape love. We can show that same love that Jesus shows us, but we cannot do it without him. We cannot do it without being connected to him, and we cannot do it without hearing his voice. So how? How do we hear his voice? How can we know the voice of the shepherd? For starters, we got to know his word. We need to go to his word to hear his voice speaking to us, to come to know who he is through all he has done for his people from the very beginning in Genesis to the very end of what will come in Revelation, to hear his voice and hear his promises for his people and for you. And the only way you can do that is to spend time in his word. And it's good to spend time here, there, a piece here, a piece there, but it's important that we get the scope from Genesis to Revelation, reading through it all. And if you've never read through the whole Bible, I encourage you to do it. I know there's Route 66 that's here. I know there's so many other opportunities you can do that. There's a wonderful reading program called A Year Through the Bible. I personally am going through it right now. I did it a while back, and then I suddenly felt I needed to get back into it. And so I am. And then, of course, prayer. Spending time in prayer. But here's the important piece. Too often in prayer, we just give everything to God, our worries, our concerns, and that's wonderful. We need to do that. But sometimes we miss the most important piece, which is listening. It's like going to the doctor's office, and you give your list of ailments, things that are bugging you, and then you say to the doctor, hey, thanks, doc. I appreciate you listening to me. Thanks. I'll talk to you again later. No, you're not going to do that, right? You came into the doctor because you want to know what the doctor's going to tell you. You want his wisdom. You want to know his expertise. And you want him to help you. And so you listen to what the doctor says. We need to do the same with the Good Shepherd. We need to take the time after we've given him our concerns to listen to what he has to say to us. And I will tell you right now, it's a discipline. It's difficult. Our brains get so busy. There's so many things going on in there, and it takes time for us to be still and know that He is God, like it says in Psalm 46, to still ourselves before Him and just listen. But when we do take that time, that is when we get to know Him. It's like any relationship. The only way you get to know somebody is spending time with them. You get to know them. You hear their stories. You hear their struggles. You hear everything that's gone on in their life. You share those things with them, and then you know them. You know their voice. It's the same thing with God. When we spend that time, and we spend daily time, we pray without ceasing. We worship Him. We take the time to get to know the Good Shepherd. That is when we come to know His voice. But even giants like Peter, and I'm about to get into a story of Elijah, one of the greatest prophets, even they struggle and have their moments where they reach a low of lows and they need to hear God's voice. So if you want to bring up the next slide, Elijah has just had an incredible moment on Mount Carmel, and he's taking down these priests of Baal, but then he hears from King Ahab and Queen Jezebel that they're going to kill him, and he fears for his life, and he's afraid, and he runs out into the wilderness, and he sits down under a broom tree, and then he asks God that he might die. I mean, think about this. This is mighty prophet Elijah, and boy, does he hit a low, and he says, "It's enough now, Lord. Just take away my life. I'm no better than my father's." Now, God sends an angel to feed him, to minister to him, and then Elijah wanders and comes into a cave. And if you could go to the next slide. There Elijah comes into a cave, and behold, the word of the Lord comes to him and says, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And the word of the Lord tells him to go out and stand before the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passes by, and a great strong wind tears through the mountains and breaks pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord is not in the wind. And after the wind comes an earthquake, but the Lord is not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there's a fire, but the Lord is not in the fire. And after the fire, now the translation here says, the sound of a low whisper. But one of the best translations I've heard is, it's the crushing sound of silence. And that is where Elijah hears God's voice. We need the voice of the shepherd in our lives. We need to abide in Him. We need to spend time with Him. We may not be in that agape love level like Peter, but He still asks us, Jesus asks you, do you love me? Do you agape love me? And you may not be there, and that's okay, because He's going to meet you right where you're at, because that's the God He is. But then He loves you too much than to let you stay there. He doesn't want you to be a dead branch. He wants you to thrive. He wants to fill you with His Holy Spirit, to change your heart, to help you grow, to help you abide in Him and live the kind of life He wants to give you. And in that, you will grow. You will be changed. And you will agape love. So let us listen to the voice of the shepherd. Let us pray. Dear God, we struggle so much with our comfort zones, and we fall back into our patterns. But Lord, you have shown us that apart from you, we can do nothing. We need you. We need to abide in you. We need to be connected to you. Help us, God. Help us to hear your voice as the Good Shepherd. Help us to spend time with you, listening to you, getting to know your word, spending time in a relationship with you so that we can grow in you and grow into the love and life that you call every one of us to as you say, follow me. Like Peter, Lord, help us to grow in you. We thank you that you meet us right where we're at right now. Help us, God, by your Holy Spirit, to answer your call, to be connected deeply to you, and to bear much fruit for you in our lives. Help us, God. Amen.